Welcome to Carrie Tales, a deeper look into the fairy tale. This is CCK, your host. Jealous sisters, dominating, controlling stepmothers, distant fathers, and cannibalism. Just a few challenges the poor heroine has to endure in today's fairy tale on Carrie Tales. This podcast will be presented in two sections. The first section is the telling of the fairy tale, and then continue listening for the second section about a bit of history of origin, content, and perspective of the tale. The fairy tales I will be reading are more original versions containing graphic and violent imagery that may not be suitable for children. Thank you for joining me in our very first episode of Carrie Tales. Snuggle up in your blankets. The tale is about to begin. For our first fairy tale, I'll be reading Vasilisa the Fair from Russian Fairy Tales, a choice collection of Muscovite folklore by William Ralston Shedden Ralston, a public domain book. Vasilisa the Fair. In a certain kingdom there lived a merchant. 12 years did he live as a married man, but he had only one child, Vasilisa the Fair. When her mother died, the girl was 8 years old. And on her deathbed, the merchant's wife called her little daughter to her, took out from under the bedclothes a doll, and gave it to her, and said, "Listen, Vasilisa dear, remember and obey these last words of mine. I am going to die, and now together, with my parental blessing, I bequeath to you this doll. Keep it always by you and never show it to anybody. And whenever any misfortune comes upon you, give the doll food and ask its advice. When it has fed, it will tell you a cure for your troubles." Then the mother kissed her child and died. After his wife's death, the merchant mourned for her a befitting time, and then began to consider about marrying again. He was a man of means. It wasn't a question with him of girls with dowries. More than all others, a certain widow took his fancy. She was middle-aged and had a couple of daughters of her own, just about the same age as Vasilisa. She must needs be both a good housekeeper and an experienced mother. Well, the merchant married the widow, but he had deceived himself, for he did not find in her a kind mother for his Vasilisa. Vasilisa was the prettiest girl in all the village, but her stepmother and stepsisters were jealous of her beauty and tormented her with every possible sort of toil, in order that she might grow thin from overwork and be tanned by the sun and the wind. Her life was made a burden to her. Vasilisa bore everything with resignation and every day grew plumper and prettier, while the stepmother and her daughters lost flesh and fell off in appearance from the effects of their own spite, notwithstanding that they always sat with folded hands like fine ladies. But how did that come about? Why, it was her doll that helped Vasilisa. If it hadn't been for it, how ever could the girl have got through all her work? And therefore, it was that Vasilisa would never eat all her share of a meal, but always kept the most delicate morsel for her doll. And at night, when all were at rest, she would shut herself up in a narrow chamber in which she slept and feast her doll, saying the while, "There, dolly, feed. Help me in my need. I live in my father's house, but never know what pleasure is. My evil stepmother tries to drive me out of the white world. Teach me how to keep alive and what I ought to do. Then the doll would eat and afterwards give her advice and comfort her in her sorrow. And the next day it would do all Vasilisa's work for her. She had only to take her ease in the shady place and pluck flowers, and yet all her work was done in good time. The beds were weeded, and the pails were filled, and the cabbages were watered, and the stove was heated. Moreover, the doll showed Vasilisa herbs, which prevented her from getting sunburnt. Happily did she and her doll live together. Several years went by. Vasilisa grew up and became old enough to be married. All the marriageable young men in the town sent to make an offer to Vasilisa. At her stepmother's daughters, not a soul would so much as look. Her stepmother grew even more savage than before and replied to every suitor, "We won't let the younger marry before her elders." And after the suitors had been packed off, she used to beat Vasilisa by way of wreaking her spite. Well, it happened one day that the merchant had to go away from home on business for a long time. Thereupon, the stepmother went to live in another house, and near that house was a dense forest. And in a clearing in that forest, there stood a hut. And in the hut, there lived a Baba Yaga. She never let anyone come near her dwelling, and she ate up people like so many chickens. Having moved into the new abode, the merchant's wife kept sending her hated Vasilisa into the forest on one pretense or another. But the girl always got home safe and sound. The doll used to show her the way and never let her go near the Baba Yaga's dwelling. The autumn season arrived. One evening, the stepmother gave out their work to the three girls. One she set to lace making, another to knitting socks, and the third, Vasilisa, to weaving. And each of them had her allotted amount to do. By and by, she put out the lights in the house, leaving only one candle alight where the girls were working, and then she went to bed. The girls worked and worked. Presently, the candle wanted snuffing. One of the stepdaughters took the snuffers as if she were going to clear the wick, but instead of doing so, in obedience to her mother's orders, she snuffed the candle out, pretending to do so by accident. "What shall we do now?" said the girls. "There isn't a spark of fire in the house, and our tasks are not yet done. We must go to Baba Yaga's for the light." "My pins give me light enough," said the one who was making lace. "I shan't go."
"And I shan't go either," said the one who was knitting socks.
My knitting needles give me light enough."
"Vasilisa, you must go for the light," they both cried out together.
"Be off to the Baba Yaga's."
And they pushed Vasilisa out of the room. Vasilisa went to her little closet, set before the doll a supper which she had provided beforehand, and said,
"Now, Dolly, feed and listen to my need. I'm sent to the Baba Yaga's for a light. The Baba Yaga will eat me."
The doll fed, and its eyes began to glow just like a couple of candles.
"Never fear, Vasilisa, dear," it said. "Go where you're sent. Only take care to keep me always by you. As long as I am with you, no harm will come to you at the Baba Yaga's." So Vasilisa got ready, put her doll in her pocket, crossed herself,
went out into the thick forest. As she walks, she trembles. Suddenly, a horseman gallops by. He is white, and he is dressed in white. Under him is a white horse, and the trappings of the horse are white, and the day begins to break. She goes a little further, and a second rider gallops by. He is red, dressed in red, and is sitting on a red horse, and the sun rises. Vasilisa went on walking all night and all next day. It was only towards the evening that she reached the clearing on which stood the dwelling of the Baba Yaga. The fence around it was made of dead men's bones. On the top of the fence were stuck human skulls with eyes in them. Instead of uprights at the gates were men's legs. Instead of bolts were arms. Instead of a lock was a mouth with sharp teeth. Vasilisa was frightened out of her wits and stood still as if rooted to the ground. Suddenly, the road passed another horseman. He was black, dressed all in black, and on a black horse. He galloped up to the Baba Yaga's gate and disappeared, just as if he had sunk through the ground. And the night fell, but the darkness did not last long. The eyes of all the skulls on the fence began to shine, and the whole clearing became as bright as if it had been midday. Vasilisa shuddered with fear, but stopped where she was, not knowing which way to run. Soon, there was heard in the forest a terrible roar. The trees crackled, the dry leaves rustled. Out of the forest came the Baba Yaga, riding in a mortar, urging it on with a pestle, sweeping away her traces with a broom. Up! She drove to the gate, stopped short, and snuffing the air around her, she cried, "Faw, faw, I smell Russian flesh. Who's there?" Vasilisa went up to the hag in a terrible fright, bowed low before her, and said, "It's me, Granny. My stepsisters have sent me to you for a light."
"Very good," said the Baba Yaga. "I know them. If you'll stop a while with me first and do some work for me, I'll give you a light. But if you won't, I'll eat you." Then she turned to the gate and cried, "Ho, thy firm fence of mine, be thou divided, and yea, wide gates of mine, do ye fly open."
Gates opened, and the Baba Yaga drove in, whistling as she went, and after her followed Vasilisa, and then everything shut to again. When they entered the sitting room, the Baba Yaga stretched herself out at full length and said to Vasilisa, "Fetch out what there is in the oven. I am hungry." Vasilisa lighted a splinter at one of the skulls which were on the fence, and began to fetching meat from the oven and setting it before the Baba Yaga. And meat enough had been provided for a dozen people. Then she fetched from the cellar vass, mead, beer, and wine. The hag ate up everything, drank up everything. All she left for Vasilisa was a few scraps, a crust of bread, and a morsel of sucking pig. Then the Baba Yaga lay down to sleep, saying, "When I go out tomorrow morning, mind you, cleanse the courtyard, sweep the room, cook the dinner, and get the linen ready. Then go to the corn bin, take out 4 quarters of wheat, and clear it of other seed. And mind you have it all done. If you don't, I shall eat you." After giving these orders, the Baba Yaga began to snore. But Vasilisa set the remnants of the hag's supper before her doll, burst into tears, and said, "Now, dolly, feed. Listen to my need." The Baba Yaga has set me a heavy task and threatens to eat me if I don't do it all. Do help me.
The doll replied, "Never fear, Vasilisa the Fair. Sup, say your prayers, and go to bed. The morning is wiser than the evening."
Vasilisa woke very early, but the Baba Yaga was already up. She looked out of the window. The light in the skull's eyes were going out. All of a sudden, there appeared the white horseman, and all was light. The Baba Yaga went out into the courtyard and whistled. Before her appeared a mortar with a pestle and a broom. The red horseman appeared. The sun rose. The Baba Yaga seated herself in the mortar and drove out of the courtyard, shooting herself along with the pestle, sweeping away her traces with the broom. Vasilisa was left alone, so she examined the Baba Yaga's house, wondering at the abundance there was in everything, and remained lost in thought as to which work she ought to take to first. She looked up. All her work was done already. The doll had cleared the wheat to the very last grain.
"Oh, my preserver," cried Vasilisa, "you've saved me from danger."
"All you've got to do now is to cook the dinner," answered the doll, slipping into Vasilisa's pocket. "Cook away, in God's name, and then take some rest for your health's sake." Towards the evening, Vasilisa got the table ready and awaited the Baba Yaga. It began to grow dusky. The black rider appeared for a moment at the gate, and all grew dark. Only the eyes of the skulls sent forth their light. The trees began to crack. The leaves began to rustle. Up drove the Baba Yaga. Vasilisa went out to meet her. "Is everything done?" asks the Yaga.
"Please, to look for yourself, Granny," says Vasilisa.
The Baba Yaga examined everything, was vexed that there was nothing to be angry about, and said,
"Well, well, very good."
Afterwards, she cried, "My trusty servants, zealous friends, grind this my wheat." There appeared 3 pairs of hands, which gathered up the wheat and carried it out of sight. The Baba Yaga supped, went to bed, and again gave her orders to Vasilisa. "Do just the same tomorrow as today, only besides that, take out of the bin the poppy seed that is there and clean the earth off it grain by grain. Someone or other, you see, has mixed a lot of earth with it out of spite." Having said this, the hag turned to the wall and began to snore, and Vasilisa took to feeding her doll. The doll fed, and then she said to her what it had said the day before. "Pray to God and go to sleep. The morning is wiser than the evening. All shall be done, Vasilisa dear." The next morning, the Baba Yaga again drove out of the courtyard in her mortar, and Vasilisa and her doll immediately did all the work. The hag returned, looked at everything, and cried,
"My trusty servants, zealous friends, press forth oil from the poppy seed."
3 pairs of hands appeared, gathered up the poppy seed, and bore it out of sight. The Baba Yaga sat down to dinner. She ate, but Vasilisa stood silently by.
"Why don't you speak to me?" said the Baba Yaga. "There you stand like a dumb creature."
"I didn't dare," answered Vasilisa. "But if you give me leave, I should like to ask you about something."
"Ask away. Only it isn't every question that brings good.
get much to know, and old soon you'll grow. I only want to ask you, Granny, about something I saw. As I was coming here, I was passed by one riding on a white horse. He was white himself and dressed in white. Who was he?
That was my bright day, answered the Baba Yaga.
Afterwards, there passed me another rider on a red horse, red himself and all in red clothes. Who was he?
That was my red son, answered the Baba Yaga.
And who may be the black rider, Granny, who passed by me just at your gate?
That was my dark knight. They are all trusty servants of mine.
Vestlisa thought of the three pairs of hands, but held her peace.
Why don't you go on asking? Said the Baba Yaga. That's enough for me, Granny. You said yourself, get too much to know, and old you'll grow.
It's just as well, said the Baba Yaga, that you've only asked about what you saw out of doors, not indoors. In my house, I hate having dirt carried out of doors. And as to over-inquisitive people, well, I eat them. Now, I'll ask you something. How is it you manage to do the work I set you to do?
My mother's blessing assists me, replied Vestlisa.
Aye! What's that? Get along out of my house, you blessed daughter! I don't want blessed people. She dragged Vestlisa out of the room, pushed her outside the gates, took one of the skulls with blazing eyes from the fence, stuck it on a stick, and gave it to her and said, lay hold of that. It's a light. You can take it to your stepsisters. That's what they sent you here for, I believe.
Home went Vestlisa at a run, lit by a skull, which went out only at the approach of the dawn. And at last, on the evening of the second day, she reached home. When she came to the gate, she was going to throw away the skull. Surely, thinks she, they can't be still in want of a light at home. But suddenly, a hollow voice issued from the skull, saying,
throw me not away! Carry me to your stepmother!
She looked at her stepmother's house, and not seeing a light in a single window, she determined to take the skull in there with her. For the first time in her life, she was cordially received by her stepmother and stepsisters, who told her that from the moment she went away, they hadn't had a spark of fire in the house. They couldn't strike a light themselves, anyhow. And whenever they brought one in from a neighbor's, it went out as soon as it came into the room.
Perhaps your light will keep in, said the stepmother. So they carried the skull into the sitting room, but the eyes of the skull so glared at the stepmother and her daughters, shot forth such flames that they would fain have hidden themselves, but run where they would, everywhere did the eyes follow after them.
By the morning, they were utterly burnt to cinders. Only Vestlisa was none the worse. The next morning, Vestlisa buried the skull, locked up the house, and took up her quarters in a neighboring town. After a time, she began to work. Her doll made her a glorious loom, and by the end of the winter, she had weaved a quantity of linen so fine that it might be passed like thread through the eye of a needle. In the spring, after it had been bleached, Vestlisa made a present of it to the old woman with whom she lodged. The crone presented it to the king, who ordered it to be made into shirts. But No seamstress could be found to make them up until the linen was entrusted to Vasilisa. When a dozen shirts were ready, Vasilisa sent them to the king, and as soon as her carrier had started, she washed herself and combed her hair and dressed herself and sat down at the window. Before long, there arrived a messenger demanding her instant appearance at court. And when she appeared before the royal eyes, the king fell desperately in love with her. "Know, my beauty," he said, "never will I part with thee. Thou shalt be my wife." So he married her, and by, her father returned and took up his abode with her. And Vasilisa took the old woman into her service. And as for the doll, to the end of her life, she always carried it in her pocket. The end.
Welcome to the second section of Carrie Tales. In this section, I'm sharing with you what I have learned researching books and other credible sources on fairy tales. I am not claiming to be an expert, so if you have any further credible information to enlighten me on, I would be more than happy to hear it. And please do send it to carrytales@gmail.com. That's carrytales@gmail.com, and your comments may show up in another Carrie Tales episode. Now, about Vasilisa the Fair. First off, when I read the story for the first time this year, I was really blown away. I love the imagery in the story, from horsemen dressed full in color, bringing about changes in the day or night, to skulls as lanterns. All right, so let's get a little bit more into the history of where this came from. So, as I said in the beginning, I was reading from Russian Fairy Tales, a choice collection of Muscovite folklore by W.R.S. Ralston. But even he dedicates his book to Alexandra Afanasieff. Now, again, that's my best attempt at pronouncing his name. I apologize if I don't do it justice. But again, Alexandra Afanasieff. He was the original collector of Russian fairy tales. He was the first I know of to collect and publish Russian fairy tales, and is where from Ralston has taken many of his stories. So, Alexandra Afanasieff is from a little town in Russia, and he studied law at Moscow University and got a job in the state archives in 1849. He started to collect Russian fairy tales in the 1850s, and then he published Russian fairy tales in successive parts from 1855 to 1864. And he valued authenticity of Russian folktale. However, at this time, Russia was vigorous with censorship of secular writing. And in 1860, police assailed the publishing house that printed Russian fairy tales and arrested the owner. The second volume of folktales was seized and destroyed by fire. Alexandra Afanasieff lost his job at the state archives, accused of appropriating from them. He was destitute for the rest of his life and died at 45 in 1871 of consumption. This is why it's so important to acknowledge Alexandra Afanasieff for his work that we are all learning from today. He likely did not feel appreciated in his time, but little did he know that we would still be talking about him in 2016. And thankful to give him credit where credit is more than due. Okay, so now let's get into more of the meat of the story of Vasilisa the Fair. So, A little history, I guess, or a little history of Russian fairy tales and kind of some information I found was that in Russian fairy tales, the heroine does have to participate in her survival and in overcoming evil. The doll is the helper and champion for Vasilisa, but not without her doing her part by feeding the doll. And sometimes that meant going without food herself. And so things don't just magically happen for the heroine, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. She is going to have to help save herself from pending doom. Okay, so at the end of the story, I don't know if you felt this way, but I really felt like, man, this girl's pretty smart. I love that Vasilisa gets herself looking good the moment the carrier takes off to deliver the shirts to the king. Betting, so she sits herself down by the window, waiting for a messenger to come back, betting that they're going to come back and take her in front of the king. So she wants to make sure she's doing everything possible to make herself appealing. And guess what? She gets a hand in marriage to the king. That's pretty awesome. So anyways, going on. Vasilisa is a general name for the heroine in Russian fairy tales. Another tale where I found Vasilisa in the title is The Water King and Vasilisa the Wise. The doll or puppet is also a frequently used character in tales. Not that this particular doll from Vasilisa's mother in this tale was used over and over again,
but dolls or puppets in general.
I guess in the original version, the doll is referred to as a kukla. Now, I am, again, just doing my best to pronunciate these things, and I believe it is kukla, and it's spelled K-U-K-L-A, a puppet that can be a human or animal. All right, moving on. So then there's Baba Yaga. And Baba Yaga is also a very common wicked character in a number of Russian tales. And Baba Yaga is presented as an enemy, although from the couple of fairy tales I've read with her in it, basically it seems she saves the heroine of the story, thus becoming an asset to the good and the condemnation punisher of the selfish and badly behaved characters in the tale. And so I find this little twist intriguing and much deeper than what I have read of villains in other fairy tales. Okay, so Baba Yaga is a cannibal. Her eyes turn people into stone, and she lives in a hut built on chicken legs. It is said that when she sees her prey, she opens her mouth and lets her jaw drop, swallowing her prey whole. Okay, obviously pretty creepy. So we didn't see the chicken legs in Vasilisa the Fair, or the description of that. And I'm assuming, and maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming the reason why is because at the time that this was told and written, everybody knew Baba Yaga because it was such a widely used character. And so the chicken legs was a pretty common image or common knowledge for these people, and that her hut was on chicken legs. So I think that's why it wasn't mentioned. I also think the reason why they use chicken legs is as well as the pestle and the mortar, because pestle and mortar is a culinary tool to, you know, grind herbs and such, where the chicken legs is commonly used in chicken stock or chicken soup stock. So basically it's just further, I think, illustrating her cannibalism and her creepiness. So just more interesting illustration and imagery there. Going on. Vasilisa has to be brave and figure out how to survive at the end of the story. And I love that she's been honorable. This character has been has been an honorable person throughout. She does not even expose the doll to Baba Yaga, but yet finds a truthful way to explain how she manages the work the Baba Yaga gives her. She returns with light for her stepsisters and stepmother, even though, you know, they tried to kill her. And unknowingly, the light the stepsisters sent Vasilisa for would end up killing the stepsisters and stepmother. Vasilisa continues on and finds shelter with an older spinster-type woman. Vasilisa uses her skills, spinning his clothes, to not be idle and try to repay the old woman for her kindness to her. In doing so, she brings blessing on herself and the old woman. Her fine skills bring her out of meager means to royal status. All right. So finally, Vasilisa is a story that more importantly defines a heroine as a woman of strength, skill, and humbleness, charitable, selfless, and kind. Okay, so that's the true beauty of the tale for me. To finish up this second section of Carrie Tales, the final bit is the bits and pieces. And these are the little bits and pieces of language and quotes I don't or didn't understand at the time of reading the story. And this is really the best guess of understanding them for me. I will just start off with one part of the story that I read that I found confusing. So here, I'll just read that part. One of the stepdaughters took the snuffers as if she were going to clear the wick, but instead of doing so in obedience to her mother's order, she snuffed the candle out, pretending to do so by accident. I had a hard time understanding this part because I could only imagine a candle snuffer that I am familiar with. It is shaped like a bell, and you hold it over the candle gently, bringing it down over the flame, thus snuffing it out. From a quick Google search, I found that the old antique snuffers looked a lot like scissors because they were. And they also had a hollow box, the snuffer, attached to one side of the dominant shear. Trimming a wick of a candle helps the candle last longer. After trimming the wick, you have to clear out the discarded wick that was trimmed from the hot wax. Some of these old snuffers also had a pick at one end to clear out the discarded wick. So this is my assumption, is that this is the type of snuffer she was using, and she was therefore going to clear out the wick, but accidentally snuffed out the candle. So that made it a little clearer to me what that was all about. Okay, so the other word really I didn't understand, this is something when I went and looked up fencing companies, I think most everybody probably understood this except me. But maybe there's one person like me listening, and I'm going to just tell you what I found anyhow. Instead of uprights at the gates were men's legs. Okay. When imagining a gate, I had no idea what uprights were. Yep. Ignorance. Anyhow, uprights, from viewing some fencing company's descriptions of uprights, are what the panels of wood, metal, or whatever material, in this case bones, are bolted to. In my backyard, we have a fence, and the uprights would be the posts stuck into the ground that the larger paneling is connected to. So there you go. All right, so I kind of assumed these two drinks that were mentioned, but I kind of wanted to understand them and know what they were exactly, because I was not familiar with Vass. That's KVASS. And if I am mispronouncing that, I'm happy to hear. But Vass. When I looked up Vass, it is actually a Slavic fermented drink made from dark or regular rye breads. It is not, however, considered alcoholic, since the alcohol content is usually low. But it can become alcoholic if it left to ferment long enough, from what I've read. All right, then mead. Now, this was kind of interesting, I thought, because mead was mentioned in the story. Mead is an alcoholic drink that is made from honey and water. And so some people even believe that this is the oldest alcoholic drink on Earth. All right. Now, these are some quotes that I found interesting or didn't quite get. I just want to talk about. I don't necessarily know for sure if this is what they mean, but this is what I took from them. The first one was from Baba Yaga. Ask away, only it isn't every question that brings good. Get much to know, and old soon you'll grow. And I compare this to ignorance is bliss, a phrase from Thomas Gray's poem. And I'm going to read that to you real quick. Yet, why should they know their fate, since sorrow never comes too late, and happiness too swiftly flies? Thought would destroy their paradise. No more where ignorance is bliss. 'Tis folly to be wise. So, basically, I think what I got from Ask Away, only it isn't every question that brings good, get much to know, old soon you'll grow. Ignorance is bliss. Older we get, the more we see, the more we learn, the more injustice we see, the unfairness and the reality of life can really, the more knowledge sometimes can be, it can make you tired and feel old, I feel. Now, ending on a little more positive note, here is the final quote I found intriguing. And this was from the doll to Veslisa. Pray to God and go to sleep. The morning is wiser than the evening. All shall be done, Veslisa dear. I just feel this is true to life. In the dark of night, all seems dark and hopeless in times of despair. In the morning, the light brings hope. Waking from rest helps your mind think more clearly, and it is another chance at life. And I relate this to Psalms 35, just the last part. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Thank you for joining me in this first episode of Carrie Tales. Till the next fairy tale, The Little Mermaid, coming in December, take care, and the end. A list of the books I used for reference, please visit carrietales.com under podcast. Thank you, and I hope you will join us again for our next episode of Carrie Tales. Until then, take care.